This show is sponsored by D-Drops. When I was exclusively breastfeeding my daughters, my doctor told me that our milk doesn't actually provide enough vitamin D, which is vital to our health, especially our babies. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends breastfed and partially breastfed infants to receive a vitamin D supplement of 400 IU per day from birth onwards. Baby D-Drops are designed specifically for breastfed babies. They're organic and contain only two simple ingredients: fractionated coconut oil and pure vitamin D3, and it does not contain any preservatives, artificial flavors, or colors. You can just drop some on your baby's bottle, a pacifier, a clean finger, and give to your baby. You can find D-Drops easily at your local Walmart, Target, or even Amazon. If shopping on Amazon US or Canada, you can use my code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your order. That's code BLOOMFIELD10 for 10% off your Amazon order. Try D-Drops today. Now let's get back to the show. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is Cozy Little Convos. I'm your host Alice, here to chat all things baby toddler sleep tips that don't stress you out, with a sprinkle of parenthood mum life talk in here as well. Whether you're expecting a baby, you're a first time mum, you're a seasoned parent needing a safe space to learn all about sleep, you're in the right place. Getting better sleep is not one size fits all, and I'm here to help you feel confident and supported in your baby sleep journey. So let's get on with the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are, whenever you are. I hope you're doing all right. And, you know, I'm genuinely asking that. I know there's like a number of people listening here, but I genuinely like to talk on here like I'm chatting directly to you. And I want you to feel that way. I'm a proper empath. So I actually do care. But anyway, let's just dive into the little chat for the week. I realized that I forgot to tell you what our brunch day was like when my husband Matthew's parents came to visit the other week. We went to this place locally here in Phoenix called Hash Kitchen. And let me tell you, it made me feel old. It was so loud, like so loud. Music blasting in your ears. I would have to like put my ear up against Matthew so I could hear him. And I don't know, it was good. It just made me realize I'm not 21 years old. And I like old people things now, like coffee house music or smooth jazz. I don't know. The food was all right, but yeah, it was way too loud. If you're wanting to chat with whoever you're having brunch with, I don't know. I didn't love it, but it wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. It was fun and it was a great day. We actually snuck in another date because my in-laws were here to babysit, and we went to this place called Salt Tequila, which is just a Mexican restaurant, which is fab. But I'll be honest, my favorite around here is a place called Barrio Queen. So if you're in the Phoenix area, definitely check out Barrio Queen. They have the best pomegranate guacamole ever. And it's just such a nice vibe, especially like April, October time. It's just perfect because you can eat outside. It's so nice. And I actually can't believe I'm saying this because I never liked Mexican food until I became pregnant with my eldest. And then suddenly I craved it. And I've just like never lost that craving. I really like it now. But it's just so funny because my husband's from San Diego, so he like loves Mexican food. But it was just not in my palate in England. I don't know about now, but at least when I was growing up there, they did not have good Mexican food. Like, I remember the only Mexican place that we had in England was Chiquitos. So all my English people, I don't know if they still have Chiquitos, but it was good. At least I thought it was. I went back to England recently and tried their salsa, and realized how incredible Mexican food is in Western United States in comparison. So I don't know. I've never been to Mexico, but obviously it's probably even better there. Anyways, that's enough for like chatting today. Let's just dive right into our topic. This topic is one of my favorites, to be honest. And something I wish that people talked about more in a less negative way. It's definitely something that everyone talks about, but it's always like really negative, in my opinion, and I just don't like it. So I thought I would love to sort of change the narrative in this episode. So we've all heard it, right? I had a bad sleeper, or my 13-year-old still sleeps like rubbish. It's just who they are. And in some ways, they're right, right? Some babies have a much harder time sleeping than others. I have experienced two sides of it, right? My eldest, so hard. I spoke about this in another episode. We have to be way more diligent with her sleep to keep things going well. She really needs routines and to keep things going. My youngest, absolute breeze in comparison. She's still not a proper unicorn baby, which by the way, is what I call babies that can just sleep through the night easy from very early on and continue to do so without any help. There are quite a few of these. I have worked with them. I have chatted with them. And interestingly enough, that was me as a baby. My mum would lay me down and I would just go off to sleep and sleep all night long unless I needed to eat. I did have a dummy or a pacifier, which I loved. I had a dummy for a long time, actually. But it wasn't an issue when it came to sleep. I was an absolute unicorn sleeper, which completely baffled my mum because my older brother hated sleep. I've heard that all my life. And now I do what I do. We've had some really cool conversations about it. But the overall consensus was that my brother was a really bad sleeper. And I'm not going to lie, there were moments in my motherhood period where I've thought that about my own child, even though I do what I do. My eldest has always been extremely sensitive when it comes to her sleep. And if she regresses or has an off week or an off night, or if we've been traveling, I've thought to myself, why? Why do I have such a sensitive sleeper? Which is exactly what she is, a sensitive sleeper. Not a bad sleeper, not a nightmare baby. She's sensitive. And that is what I personally prefer to refer to this kind of baby on my channel, on my page, just in general with my own children. I often talk about how your child's temperament matters when it comes to your baby's sleep, but I haven't really gone into too much detail. I don't want to create an information overload. I did do a blog on it, but I also wanted another space to talk about it more freely. So full disclosure, if you're just getting started learning about sleep and this sounds overwhelming, like if you have a newborn, I suggest you come back at another time because it's definitely a deep dive on a bit of a side topic, but I do really think it's important and something that should be talked about more and something that every parent should know because it's incredibly helpful. And honestly, understanding this has completely made me react, like my reactions to my child's sleep as a sensitive sleeper did a 180 as soon as I learned this. So if you're new to all this baby sleep stuff, make sure you sign up for my free night waking guide, which will be linked in the show notes. That guide is like a baby sleep 101, the balanced, cozy baby sleep way, and is a great place to get started. But let's just start talking about temperament. Let's do this deep dive. What is temperament? To put it simply, it is who you are, who your baby is, our natural personality type, our behavior, your own personal flavor, your level of spiciness. This temperament or personality type is typically stable throughout your entire life, right? You can't change it. It has a strong genetic basis and it's neither good nor bad. But of course, there are some temperaments that are shown to be a little bit more challenging than others when it comes to parenting. And there are studies that talk about this. You have a temperament as a mother, as a person, as a father. And your baby has their own temperament and they may or may not be the same. You may have a completely different temperament to your child, but your temperament really does matter in this as well. And this is what really isn't talked about too much, but so anyway, I'll go into that in a little bit more later, but temperament is measured by 9 different dimensions. And I'm not going to go into this into detail because I want to focus more on sleep and how it can affect sleep and how we can improve it. But it includes looking through the following dimensions: activity level, whether or not it be active or relaxed, regularity of bodily functions like diapers, body clock, adaptability to change, be that quick or slow, approach, be that eager or reluctant, physical sensitivity, not very sensitive or very, very sensitive, distractibility, very much so or not very, mood, positive or negative mood, persistence and or attention span, having a long persistence or attention span or a short attention span, and finally, intensity. So high emotional intensity versus mild, calm reactions. I feel like that's really the one that stuck out to me. All of these variables are then put together to create different temperaments, which these are likely what you think about when you think about temperament type, or if you've ever Googled it. Some doctor's offices will ask about this on paperwork, but the temperaments are easy, slow to warm up or slow to warm, combo or difficult. And here's an interesting fact for you. The most common temperaments are easy and combination. And I remember being surprised by that when I learned that. I was like, wow, there are more easy temperaments than combination. But this becomes less interesting and more like a light bulb moment as we go on and we'll chat and learn a little bit more. So research suggests that a more challenging temperament consists of a more negative mood, withdrawal tendencies, low adaptability, high intensity reactions, and low regularity. So how does temperament impact our baby sleep? This is where it gets interesting and a little bit wordy or complicated, but our sleep behavior as human beings is driven by both nature and nurture. Temperament is really important, of course, but other factors actually affect sleep a lot more than you might think. For example, environment, parental response, parenting practices, to name a few. Temperament in itself is incredibly hard to assess correctly because it's most often reported by parents themselves, right? So the report can really depend on the parent's mood at the time, which is often determined by their sleep or lack thereof. And as a result, parents who report having a child with a difficult temperament will often share that their baby has a really hard time sleeping. And I will 100% tell you that I always thought that my eldest had a difficult temperament when she was a baby. But I think a lot of that was actually due to my own stress in being sleep deprived and then having two babies very close together and just in general not knowing very much about her sleep when she was first born and how to handle it. But as she's grown, she's definitely not the easygoing temperament, but I don't think she's difficult, to be honest. I think she's probably more combination, which, as I mentioned earlier, is one of the most common. So that would make more sense. But this exact situation where a stressed out, tired, sleep deprived parent reports a temperament, it poses the question, is this correct, right? Are families leaning towards saying that they are having or they have a child with a difficult temperament? Or are they just sleep deprived, exhausted, struggling, have lack of support, no family or friends nearby? Or does their child really, really have a difficult, tricky temperament? And in reality, more evidence is needed to say how much temperament affects sleep. I'm not going to talk it on here and say this, that, and the other. But what we do know is how we, as the parent, as the mother, respond to temperament is incredibly important. Because depending on which way it goes, it can create a vicious back and forth, right? A challenging temperament tends to bring out harsher parenting because parents are more stressed out and tired, which, you know, then leads to snapping and losing your cool and stuff like that, which then leads to more challenging behaviors from the child. And this creates a cycle, right? This is where it gets tricky, because if you can break the cycle, then you could really truly find out what temperament your child has and how you can tune into them to be able to help them and you as best as possible and get the best sleep possible, right? And this is where the nurture part comes into play. Yes, every baby is different. I will not deny that for one second. I've experienced two very different babies personally, and I've worked with even more different babies. So I'm not going to deny that. I don't want you to think that I'm saying that every baby is the same, because I don't believe that for one second. But the one thing that we can control is how we respond. So in terms of sleep, what does that look like? External factors, for example, sleep environment. We can help the sleep environment to be conducive to better sleep. We can incorporate age-appropriate bedtime routines and nap times that will encourage sleep. And then also, we can control our parental response to night wakings and so on. So if you happen to have a child with a trickier temperament, or maybe you're like me and you thought maybe you did, but actually perhaps leaning toward more combination, regardless of your child's temperament, you're not doomed for poor sleep for the next few years and beyond. Neither of you deserve that. And there is decades of research to support that evidence-based positive parenting and sleep teaching techniques can reduce the challenges that come with parenting a child with a more fiery temperament or a child that has a really hard time sleeping. And this is really what my entire sleep teaching philosophy is based on. Evidence-based positive parenting techniques that allow you to tune into your baby, your toddler, your child, and help them get the sleep that they need and that you need too. And this does not mean doing something that you're uncomfortable with. Sleep teaching, or training as it's more widely known as, has many different avenues to explore. It's not just crying out, ignoring your baby for 12 hours. I actually don't suggest that in any of my resources. I think it's unnecessary, whether or not it's research supported or not. I just think it's unnecessary. Most parents don't want to do that. But there are so many other options that can get you to where you want to be, and those options aren't final. I chose different sleep teaching methods with both of my girls, and during regressions or off nights or when we've been traveling, I've used different methods to get back on track. And at different ages, I've used different methods. I've just used my intuition with what felt right at the time for us as a family and for my babies. And yes, it might take longer than doing a 12-hour cry out and a strict schedule, but for a lot of families, including my own, that was the most sustainable way to do it in a way that made me feel good. And so I'm getting out of my soapbox. Sorry. Here's my final thought for today. Your baby doesn't hate sleep. They are not a bad sleeper. They're not a nightmare baby. They're sensitive. And sensitive sleepers just require a little bit more think work. They'll often humble their parents very quickly. I know mine does on a regular basis. But they're not bad, okay? Like, that is something that I just want to put out there. They're not bad. You're doing great. If you're in the middle of a sleep regression or sleep has just been crap since forever, please know that you're not alone. It feels hard because it really is that hard. Some people genuinely do have babies that have a much easier time with sleeping. And the parent may or may not know that. They might be like me. They might have a baby like me, a unicorn sleeper. But sensitive sleepers, just like my baby and potentially your baby if you're listening, can still be great sleepers. And I can attest to that not only with my own personal experience as a mother, but also with the hundreds and hundreds of students inside my baby sleep courses that have got better sleep with sensitive sleepers. Thank you so much for listening in today. I know this is quite a heavy topic, but I'm really excited to hear about what you think. Please DM me your thoughts on Instagram. I would love to listen to it. All of my baby and toddler sleep resources and citations for the information shared in this episode will be listed in the show notes. I did not come up with the research stuff on my own. I will cite all of my references for that for you. But I will see you next time. Sweet dreaming, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into Cozy Little Convos. If you liked it, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. It helps me so much in continuing to create helpful content for you. So thank you in advance for all of your support. If you haven't already, go ahead and join us over on Instagram at Cozy Baby Sleep. Give us a follow. I'm always posting really helpful, in-detail sleep tips over on my stories. And it's a good time, so join us. In the meantime, if you are struggling with sleep, just know that you're not alone. There's like thousands and millions of us out there that have been struggling as well or that have been through it before. I'm here to help you and everything's going to be all right, okay? I'll be back next time for more and I'll see you then. Bye.